Hello, everybody. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
And every week we are giving you a blast from our past.
We are the podcast that brings you full-on movie breakdowns, TV show reviews, album reviews, top tens, and more, all from the things of our nostalgic past.
So please join us every single week on the Blast From Our Past podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. However you listen to podcasts, you can find us, and we would love to have you take a trip with us to the land of nostalgia.
Welcome back to Action Action, the podcast that watches all the action movies, and we put them on a great big list.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, we do. We're ranking these things, we're rating them. I am Dustin, and I'm joined by my co-host, James.
Hello.
And today's a special episode of sorts. This will be the 300th fucking episode of this show. Can't believe it. Where's the time go?
I really don't know.
Well,
if you ask my wife, it'd be down the drain.
Down the fucking tubes. What were we really going to do, though, with our lives?
I don't know. We'll never know. A relationship with my children. I don't know. Give back to society, the community.
Aren't we doing that in some small way?
Yes, we are.
We are part of the BFOP network. Make sure you go on, check out the other shows on the network: Podcasting After Dark, Talking Back, Return, Revenge, Resurrection, just to name a few. And, there's a lot of great content out there, so check it out. But in the meantime, we're gonna talk about some of the things we've been watching lately, a little segment we call Sink or Swim. Haven't always called it that. Somehow that's what it's become.
Yeah, sink or swim.
James, have you got anything for me? What have you been watching?
So I've been doing some swimming and sinking.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. That turns out.
I watched this cartoon movie on Netflix called Ouran and the Dark.
Okay.
I watched it with the kids, and it's pretty mid.
I'm glad you're keeping up on the lingo. Yeah.
It was kind of whatever. I mean, my kids also kind of felt like it was whatever.
Mid as fuck for real.
I don't know. It's definitely mid.
Yeah. I haven't even heard of this one.
Yeah. Exactly. So
like, is it like an anime style or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not anime. It's just like, it's like a Pixar style.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's just a,
yeah,
you know, what all those companies are doing now. They have the exact same look to them.
Right, yeah.
Fucking conformists. So I watched that, and then I watched, for whatever reason, the algorithm told me to watch 1997's Metro.
Oh, okay. I just brought that movie up because Michael Wincott, when we were talking about The Crow.
Yeah, I don't think I ever seen this movie. So.
Yeah, it kind of one of those slip through the cracks kind of people forgot it existed kind of movie. Eddie Murphy.
Weird movie.
Yeah, it is an action movie, is it not?
It's an action movie.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
The pacing is kind of all over the place because there's like this whole like romance story with his ex-girlfriend or wife anyways. And it, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. He's like a negotiator. So he's a negotiator. And then his like new partner is Michael Rapaport.
Okay. I do like Michael Rapaport.
Yeah. So, but he's like, a very much a small role, but also like it's like there's two movies going on. Like okay. It's a little too,
it's kind of confused about itself.
Well, it's just too much shit going on because
It's sounding kind of like how I felt when I watched Money Train not that long ago, where there's like so many plots or something. There's too much shit.
Yeah, there's too much shit.
It's a movie I had thought about picking a couple times on the show, but.
Yeah, because I mean, like, eventually it gets to the whole plot line with Michael Wincott, which right. I like all that stuff. Michael Wincott is fucking awesome in this movie because he just plays that, you know, sadistic fucking villain.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give a fuck. So I like all that. It's. Eddie Murphy is not great.
We've already passed peak Murphy at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't like, you know, when a cop goes into like a room or something and he's got his gun drawn and so he's like clearing the room, right? He's like going through. The way that he like moves his hands and like clears the room, it just was driving me nuts.
Like, was it like real like some Steven Seagal shit?
It was real jerky and like not smooth at all. And you know, it's like you watch action stars or you watch people and they're like, yeah, I did like, you know, 1,000 hours of like police training to learn how to do. Yeah, it's like he just fucking showed up that day, right?
Well, he's already played a cop. He's been Beverly Hills Cop 3 times, I think, already by this point.
I know, but I just, yeah. I don't know. Whatever. It's not a good movie. It's mid too.
Right.
Okay. So I guess I'm midding it.
Guess we won't probably bother getting to it on the show. Maybe way down the road if we're still doing this.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Okay.
You know, but it did make me want to watch. There's a Samuel L. Jackson, I think, The Negotiator.
Oh yeah, with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. What? What? What did Samuel L. Jackson do?
As far as I know, he's still good.
Oh, okay.
Actually, The Negotiator is a pretty good movie, as I recall.
I remember it being good, so yeah. I'm like, okay, I kind of want to watch that. Now I'm like, oh, I want to watch
Paul Giamatti's in that, too. He's got a fun bit in that.
I want to watch all these Negotiator movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so those two movies, you can skip. Like, no big deal. I mean, if you're a completist and you got to watch the Eddie Murphy catalog, then okay, I get
you're gonna have to hit Metro.
I get it.
It has to be better than Showtime. Remember that one he was with
It's better than Showtime. Yes. And then I started watching the RoboDoc.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
It's so good, eh?
It's so good. I can't wait to finish it because then I'm going to watch the movie again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so good.
Beautiful.
It's like crazy. Anytime, like I love watching the like how like movies are made and like, you know, how they made it and like how they even got to the point where they could make it and things like that. Like I love watching that kind of stuff. It also makes me think like, how the fuck do any movies get made?
Yeah,
like
for real.
Like it's insane. Then I'm also watching this series on Netflix. I've been kind of watching it like as the new seasons come out. But it's called Hip Hop Evolution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
And I just really love watching like this kind of stuff and find it like super interesting. Just like, you know, talking about like the influential like MCs, DJs, like mixtapes. Like I just watched a thing about mixtapes and how like mixtapes were like a key part of like a lot of these like major artists that we know,
right?
Of how they became known, and also just like how like one, like it goes through like all these different like stages of like sounds and whatnot,
right? How it evolved,
how it evolves, yeah. Like it's just super interesting. And actually, I was like thinking after watching this. I'm not quite done this season, but it's just like, I don't think I would watch any other like genre of like, I'm not going to watch, I don't know, like classic rock Evolution.
I would.
I wouldn't, but you know, I guess it just doesn't really appeal to me, but. Yeah.
Well, you are a huge hip-hop head.
If anyone knows me, I'm a real hip-hop aficionado. So I find it really interesting. So I highly recommend that. And I'm starting to get into now, like, documentary stuff, like, you know, with RoboDoc and then this.
Yeah, so getting into different, switching gears.
Switching gears.
Bit. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, I didn't watch too much this week. It's another situation where we're recording back to back, but I got a few items here. I watched Saltburn finally.
Yeah, I keep thinking, okay, I need to watch it because, you know, John sent us that message saying, hey, you guys should watch it so then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't hear anything about it, but then now I've heard people talk
hype,
about
anti-hype,
it.
Anti-hype, yeah.
So I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I don't think you would like it. It's a weird movie. So it's directed by Emerald Fennell, who also did Promising Young Woman. And I liked Promising Young Woman. It was very on the nose, but I enjoyed it. This movie is similarly on the nose in a lot of respects. I actually was into the first half of it. I was like, okay, I'm getting sucked into this. I'm interested. Where's it going? Kind of thing. But the second half just did not work out for me. Where it was going was not interesting to me. I've seen a lot of people who like it, and that's cool. For me, it just felt like a real pale imitation of like the talented Mr. Ripley, if you've seen that with Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way better movie in my opinion. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, is this, okay, that seems like the obvious thing that's going to happen. So it can't be that, like you're trying to figure out where it's going and stuff. And you're thinking, oh, okay, that seems too obvious. So it's going to be this other, it's gotta be something else.
Right.
But then it's not something else. It is what you think it is. So it's like, oh, okay. So like nothing really surprising or interesting happens in the second half. And then there's like, you know, it's one of those movies where there's like a reveal montage kind of thing near the end. And it was like so unsurprising that I actually literally like laughed, where I was just like, what? That's it? Like that's not surprising, guys. Like now there are some funny moments and stuff and like, it's shot well. The actors are good. Like Barry Keoghan, I like him a lot. He's a real fucking weirdo, and he's great in this. But I don't know. It's one of those movies where it's like a lot of pomp and circumstance, and not really much there, not much to it really.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not outright shit or anything, but I was disappointed in it for sure.
So what is it that like? Well, because like John made it sound like, oh, it's like a very controversial movie. Like,
there's some scenes that are, you know, meant to be kind of shocking at various times through the movie for sure.
Well, I'm not going to watch
sexual
it,
things.
So. Oh,
and,
I see.
And stuff like that. There's a, you know, spoilers for Saltburn if you're planning on watching it. Skip ahead, you know, a minute. But like there's a scene where one of the characters goes down on a girl who's menstruating.
Okay.
And so he has like blood all over his mouth and he kisses her and there's blood all over her mouth. Just stuff like that.
So he becomes the Red Baron.
Yeah.
As we call it.
Yeah. There's a few things like that. There is some great hanging dong at the end of the movie if you want to see a dance sequence with a dong flopping around. So there's that. So
I mean, who doesn't? Eastern Promises?
Yeah, I got to be honest. It was one of the more entertaining moments of the movie. Yeah, Eastern Promises. Yeah. For me, it's just kind of middle of the road. It felt like it had a lot of promise and then it just didn't really pan out in a way that did much for me personally, but I know a lot of people really like it. So, you know, your mileage may vary, but,
you know, a lot of people that like it.
Yeah. Just like talking to people.
Oh, really?
And online and stuff and you know, Letterboxd people that I follow and,
oh, okay.
I don't think John loved it either. So
no, I don't think he liked it. I'm just like, I thought it would be a little more like there'd be something more to it. It just, he made it sound like it was, oh, you either really like it or you like hate it.
Well, that does seem to be the positions for people. Like, yeah, people either like despise it or like they think it's the greatest thing. So I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to be a ton of middle ground for it. But,
right.
Well, here I am to tell you, I'm kind of in the middle.
Oh, so this episode brought to you by Mid.
Yeah, by Mid. Yeah. Then I watched a documentary that's actually on Tubi called Satan Wants You.
Oh, okay.
This is about the, I don't know, do you remember the book called Michelle Remembers?
No.
This is a book that helped kick off the Satanic Panic, and that's what this documentary is about. It's not as all-encompassing about Satanic Panic as I was maybe thinking it would be. It's very specifically about this book, but this book was very key in creating that whole era. Mm-hmm. So this is a book actually by a woman from Victoria, BC. It was written by her and her psychiatrist together. And it's about her, you know, her repressed memories of how when she was a kid, she was abused by a satanic cult.
Okay.
And it's like all these memories of stuff that they did to her and her, how her mom like gave them her to them to do what they wanted and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this very influential book. They were on all these talk shows. It sold millions of copies. It was this big deal.
But it's all bullshit.
Yeah, it's all complete bullshit. You know, nothing like they can prove that.
I think only Christians do that.
But there was a lot of it at the time. So, and then it you know, it spurred on a whole bunch of shit in the same vein of people coming forward and saying this stuff. And there was the McMartin trial where all these kids accused this mom and her son of running a daycare where they abused them. But then it turned out that the psychiatrist who worked with the kids, like, kind of just, like, led them astray and got them to say all this shit that never happened. Like, they ended up proving, like, that never happened and stuff. But anyway, at the time, it created this huge wave of all this kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge impact on the culture and everything, and all this fear of Satanism and Dungeons and Dragons and all this kind of stuff, right? Occult stuff, whatever.
Simpler times.
Were they, though? Because the interesting thing in the movie was, one of the people getting interviewed throughout it is this journalist who she worked on it at the time. And at the end of the movie, it was kind of depressing because she's like, well, it's kind of, you know, it's really a bummer because at the time we worked really hard to kind of uncover this stuff and be like, hey, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit. This is a made up horse shit. And it took a while, but finally the public came around and realized, oh, this is silly and this is dumb and this is made up nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but it's like, we've learned nothing. We're right back to where we started. Now you got all this QAnon shit and Pizzagate and all this stuff. And it's the same stuff all over again where people are like, we just want to believe in fucking nonsense. And so we will. Like, well, we don't learn, Dustin, any lessons, you know?
There goes half our audience.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sorry. I mean, Q is cool.
Q has spoken. Yeah. I mean, it is true. I mean, but that's just kind of goes to show you that it doesn't matter what you do. Like, you know, 30, 40 years from now, it's going to be some other bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's true. It'll just come and go.
People are like, we don't evolve.
No, but we do. I mean, if anything, it seems like we're getting dumber. But again, we're regressing. But
that's true.
Anyway, Satan Wants You. It's pretty good, pretty well done. Especially considering it's on Tubi. Like, it's a, I think it's like Tubi licensed thing.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah. And then last, I'll mention I watched The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, starring Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton.
Yes.
It's a fun movie. That
sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's just charming.
Yeah.
It's a musical kind of, has a bunch of numbers in it. It kind of ends up just being like a burlesque kind of show, really, when you're watching it.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds is a sheriff in this town. They've had this, the chicken ranch, they call it, mm-hmm. where Dolly Parton runs it's been there for like 100 years or more kind of place. And, it's just a silly romp. Dom DeLuise is the villain. He's like he's this TV reporter guy who's trying to show everyone how there's a at this whorehouse being run and no one's doing anything about it. And the sheriff doesn't do anything about it. The politicians don't do anything about it.
Right.
But yeah, it's a fun movie, silly, little romp of a thing, but, I'm not usually big on musicals, but it was pretty fun.
Nice. I forgot to mention, I also, read, Arnold Schwarzenegger's new book.
Oh, okay.
Be Useful.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Arnie.
Yeah. I'm trying to read, at least 12 books this year.
Nice.
I've read three now.
Oh, well, you're more than on track.
Yeah,
then.
I know. Right. So
right on. That just came out. Be Useful.
No, it didn't just come out. I think it came out last year.
Okay.
But yeah, it was good. It's more like, so he's gone through like a bunch of different stages, right? Like he was a weightlifter, then he went into movies, then he went into politics, and now it's kind of like talking about his like next phase, which is being like a inspirational speaker,
right? Like a self-help kind of,
yeah, kind of thing.
Sort of, yeah.
So, you know, he has like, I think in this it's like seven rules, okay, or something, yeah, like that.
12.
I can't remember.
12 simple rules for
clean your room.
Clean your room. Something about lobsters.
But, you know, it's just kind of like interesting to hear him talk about, because I listen to it. I listen to audiobook.
Yeah.
So he's just like talking about, you know, his experience and like, in the film industry and in politics and like how he just like despises like the, yeah, politics now. Yeah. And like, it's just very interesting.
That stuff I'd be pretty interested to hear. Yeah. From him.
Yeah. I mean, he's very careful, 'cause he talks about like certain things that happened, like even during the pandemic, where he's like, you know, I put all these things in place to prevent this from happening, like, to make sure we had all the stuff, but then, you know, somebody got in, right, and made budget cuts.
Dismantle it, yeah.
And so he just talks about how he dealt with that. And he's very good at not like throwing people under the bus.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But,
you have to be if you're a politician. Diplomatic.
He's very much like, yeah. And like, I definitely am not going to agree with all of his politics. Right. But it's just like, he's just such a great fucking person. Like, it's, I don't know, the more I like learn about him and, yeah, stuff, the more I'm just like, this guy's fucking awesome.
Fucking Arnie.
So.
Well, we knew it on this show.
Respect.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's get into our 300th episode special film. Can you guess what it is? It's a surprise. It's 300, because we are,
well, what?
So creative. It just made sense. We haven't done it. It was a big deal. Let's hear a trailer.
Spartans! Tonight, we dine in hell!
Be afraid! Sparta will burn to the ground!
This is blasphemy! This is madness!
Madness?
This is Sparta! The thousand nations of the Persian Empire descend upon you. Our arrows will blot out the sun.
Then we will fight in the shade.
This is where we fight! This is where they die!
Before this battle is over, the world will know that few stood against many.
All right, 300, 2006. I feel like we're doing a lot of mid-aughts movies lately.
Yeah.
Directed, of course, by Zack Snyder, starring Gerard Butler.
The Butts.
Jerry Butts. Lena Headey, Dominic West, David Wenham. Michael Fassbender's in this fucking thing, which I forgot all about that. A bunch of other people. Let's read the synopsis and we'll get into this here. So, based on Frank Miller's graphic novel 300, is very loosely based on the 480 BC Battle of Thermopylae, where the king of Sparta led his army against the advancing Persians. The battle is said to have inspired all of Greece, to band together against the Persians and helped usher in the world's first democracy. Although we don't really get too much into that stuff, but... So, 300. Here we are.
300.
I'm assuming... you don't sound too excited. I'm assuming you've seen 300 before, James.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters when it came out.
Yeah, me too. But I hadn't seen it since then, so...
I haven't seen it since then either.
So actually, that's a hell of a long time now that I'm looking at that. 2006?
Yeah, almost 20 years.
Jesus Christ. 18 years.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Damn it. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, we're getting old.
Fuck
you
me.
Especially.
Fuck, yeah, me especially.
Maybe you need to sell your Jeep now.
No, I need that Jeep. Oh, boy. So... What were your original thoughts back when you saw this?
When I originally saw it, I thought it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was something that I never seen something like this before. It was like completely different. I liked the violence. I liked the weird aspect.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
'Cause there's like a bunch of different characters that are kind of weird or like
just like kind of monstery or,
yeah, yeah, like I don't even know how to describe it, but like visually I really liked it. Like there was a lot of things I liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it now, there's still a lot I really like about it.
Yeah,
some of the CG stuff is a little like... Like, the CG blood is so bad, I find.
But oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's 18 years... You know, we complain about modern CG blood. I know. This is 18 years old, right? So,
but for what it is, I'm like, you know, I can easily move past that.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. I feel like it still kind of stands up today.
Yeah. Well, so I'm coming at it from a bit of a different perspective. Like, when I saw it in the theater, too, and I was like, yeah, it was all right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, everyone was really into it at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, for some reason, it just... I was like, that's okay.
Right.
I didn't hate it or anything, but I was just like,
right.
Yeah, it didn't move the needle for me too much.
Right.
For whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe I was like in a bad mood when I saw it, or I don't know what it
was.
Well,
you were 45 at the time.
I was 45.
I was 21 when I saw this.
So I don't know. I just was like, yeah, it was okay. And you know, the thing is, I'm a comic book nerd guy, so I was always very excited about comic book adaptations as well. And we'd had Sin City, Frank Miller's other big work there, adapted a few years before this. And I really liked that. I think that probably still stands up a little better for me, but I actually think I liked this a lot more on this rewatch than I did the first time I saw it. So that's something I got to admit here. 'Cause mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Snyder guy.
Neither am I. I actually really don't like him. Yeah. I don't really like any of his movies. So like watching this, I'm like, I think this is the only one I really like.
Yeah. I like Watchmen as well, which of course is another graphic novel sort of adaptation. Did you ever see his Dawn of the Dead remake that he did?
Is that the one where they shoot Jay Leno?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually think that one's fun. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as like the original Dawn of the Dead that we did on the show.
Right.
But it's pretty fun. That was it. I liked Dawn of the Dead and I liked Watchmen. And beyond that, like, haven't really cared for anything he's done. And especially lately, it seems to get worse and worse for like Army of the Dead. I thought was, did you watch Army of the Dead on Netflix? That movie he did, the zombie one.
I did. I hated it.
Yeah. I thought it was terrible. Other than the intro, I thought was the opening credits sequence. I thought was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it was shit. Haven't watched Rebel Moon. Don't really want to.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Didn't watch his Snyder cut of the Justice League. I just cannot give less of a shit. So most of his stuff, I'm like, this guy just doesn't really work for me. But yeah, watching this, I got into it. I enjoyed myself. So yeah, you talked about the visual stuff, and I think Snyder's weird because it's like, yeah, he's a super, like, obviously, I mean, silly to say a director is super visual because film is a fucking visual medium, but like, obviously, he goes over the top and does a lot of crazy stuff with his visuals, and usually doesn't really appeal to me, his taste. And even in this, there's some stuff where I'm like, you know, it's kind of like really washed out looking and stuff. And some of that
is very washed out, like overexposed, kind of like,
yeah, it's like sometimes it's like bland and gray looking, or like very yellow or whatever it is, like, you know, different, he's got different stuff going on in different portions of the movie, but like that stuff doesn't always appeal to me. But the more like comic booky elements that he does visually, where he is kind of in some way directly adapting the graphic novel to be like, this is an image from the comic, we got to make it look like that in the movie and make it feel comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does that stuff pretty well in this. And that's true for Watchmen as well.
So you read the comic before this?
Yeah. A long time ago I've read it. I can't remember if all the story details are exactly the same. I think, I imagine it's pretty close because Frank Miller was a producer on this too. But yeah, there's just like, there's very striking visual moments in this. Even I've got to give it up to him. Like most of the time with Snyder, it's like, okay, it's like when you walk into like an art gallery or something, an art museum, and you're like, okay, I can respect this, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. That's every art gallery for me.
It's all art. That's all art. I don't know. There was stuff in this I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like early on, we see what's Jerry Butts' name? Leonidas. He's, when he's a kid, we're seeing him grow up and, you know, he's being raised in this warrior society.
Oh, yeah. The wolf.
Yeah. The wolf stuff. Like that felt pretty cool and comic booky to me.
Yeah.
This, like the silhouette of him stabbing it and all that kind of stuff with the spear. There's some cool style decisions, I think, throughout the film. There's not all of it works for me, but there's enough cool stuff that I got some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like all the comic book aspects. I like the Persian king, the King of Kings.
Yeah, Xerxes.
How he's like, I don't know, 10 feet tall or whatever he is.
Right, we learned that. Yeah, when Leonidas goes to have that like meeting with him.
I like that. I like the hunchback that betrays him. I like the executioner, the weird,
yeah, like the big ogre guy.
Like I like that kind of stuff, and
that's fun. Oh, the executioner that has like the axes for hands and stuff. Yeah. It's weird, eh? It's almost like, I don't know. I was thinking of like the Silent Hill. Did you ever see those?
No.
Like, based on those video games, it's like weird character design stuff. That's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and like what is it? It's like the guys that all wear the mask.
Oh yeah, the immortals. Yeah, the assassins for Xerxes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I like all that stuff. I like all the battlefield stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand there's like it cuts between the battlefield stuff and the political stuff.
Right, the political machinations going on back at the
right, which there isn't. I don't feel there's a lot of it, and they. Like he does a very good job where there's not too much of, there's enough of it to know kind of what's going on back home.
Right.
But not too much that it drags it all down.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But you know, I like that where, you know, it comes to the final speech and then she ends up just like stabbing.
Yeah. We have Dominic West is like the head of the council or whatever back in Sparta. And he's this fucking weasel character who's like, well, I think we learned that he's taken money, right, from Xerxes and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's kind of getting the council to be against the king, against Leonidas, and against sending their army to help him hold off the Persians, right?
Yeah. I mean, you even have like those, that council that, you know, I forget what they call them, where he has to go up and go to the oracle.
Yeah, right. He goes to see these priest guys, whatever they are, these weird mutant. They're more mutant guys, kind of like lepers or something.
Which is like, ugh.
They're pretty gross. They got like pustules and shit all over
them. It's so disgusting, especially since they explain, yeah, they have to give them the most beautiful woman so that she can like tend to their male needs,
yeah,
and stuff like that. As he's like licking her neck, and then she's like whispering, in his ear to give.
Yeah, it's something like they just like feed her alcohols, and so she's like drunk, and then she's the oracle who tells them stuff to pass along. And I think we're supposed to. The movie seems to take the perspective of like Leonidas is kind of like an atheist basically. And he's right. Like, I don't believe in your gods and your oracle and this shitty mysticism and all this stuff. But his society believes in that stuff. So he has to like, he has to follow the rules. So whatever they say, he has to listen to them, and they're like, oh, you're not allowed to take your army to fight Xerxes. And then we also see them getting paid off too.
Yeah, exactly.
By the Persian guy, with the chains on his face and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I like that aspect too, where he's like has to find a way kind of around them, and the only thing he can do is take these volunteers.
Going for a walk.
Yeah, we're just heading out. I like Lena Headey in this too. Cersei from Game of Thrones is his wife in this. A lot of times in these kind of movies, it's like the thankless wife role where it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna be sad at home and worrying about you while you're gone at war. But she's like, no, fucking go and like do this shit, and you know, and then she's handling shit back at town kind of thing. So I thought they made her like strong, which was nice.
Well, you definitely get the impression throughout the whole entire movie, the whole like, you know, Spartan men and women are very strong.
Yeah, they're hardcore.
And they're fucking very hardcore. You know, you even get like that line, the come back with your shield or on it.
Yeah, right.
But it's just like they are so hardened, these Spartans, these soldiers, that they, it's just like you are born to do this and you will die doing this. And it's like,
it's all they like aspire to, these guys, right? It's like, well, sure, okay, as long as I die in battle, then that's fucking aces. Like,
yeah,
I'm good with that.
I mean, and I love that there's like that contrast between them, the 300, and this other group, which comes to help them.
Right. Yeah.
Which are just like a blacksmith,
Acadians,
and a potter, and you know what I mean? Like, and they're just like constantly like, you guys are mad. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. They're like, because they'll be laughing in the face of like these ridiculous odds and stuff, and just being like, yeah, this is like all I've ever dreamed of.
Yeah.
Getting killed by like a horde of invaders. That's awesome.
But it's almost like watching it and like hearing them, it's like, yeah, I believe it. It's like, yeah, they like, what a gift that they get to fight an opponent that will test them to the end. Like, glorious, what a gift that we will die fighting like such a huge challenge. Like, most people, like, I think they even say, like, this is the kind of fight that like most Spartans like dream of and will never see.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, they get killed in some training accident, you know, on base.
Right, or they die of old age, which must be their nightmare.
Yeah, exactly.
these warrior guys. They really play that part of it up, like the culture of the Spartans and how they're just raised from childhood to be these absolutely fierce warriors. And they're not like portrayed like, oh, we're just like crazy violent maniacs. They're just like, no, like we are soldiers. This is what the fuck we do kind of thing.
Well, that's why I found it smart that they had that father and son.
Yeah.
There, because it also like shows you that, like, yeah, sure, they're fierce, they're crazy, the, you know, this is what they live for, but it also, they still have emotions.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, right. Yeah, they still have the family bonds and ties, and so yeah, that is really good to highlight that in there. That's a smart, I can't remember if that was part of the graphic novel story or not, but it's well done to have that element in there, because you see him struck by grief later in the movie when his son is killed.
Yeah.
Even though they knew that was always a very good possibility that was happen, still hits him, like, as the father.
Yeah.
You know, very hard. Like, Leonidas is like, your son, you want him to come? Like, he's too young. Like, he hasn't even fucked anybody kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
and he's just like, hey, we were the same age, you know, when we first went into battle, and I've got other sons, and you know, he's gonna go out there, he's gonna do what he's raised to do. So yeah. He gets to have a lot of glory in the battle too before he gets beheaded unceremoniously, but it's a fun crew. Like, you know, you love the loyalty that they have for each other. The whole kind of principle is that they do like these phalanx attacks, and it's like, you know, you're only as strong as the man beside you kind of thing. Soldiers in battle, you know, typical brotherhood stuff, but it's well done.
Well, and that's why it's smart with the hunchback, that you kind of get that understanding, because he says, you know, lift your shield up as high as you can. And he's not able to. And it's like, well, you have to be able to lift your shield up, because that's
how we fight.
That's how we fight. And that's how we're strong together, because you can protect the system, the group, right? Yeah. So
I did think it was kind of a weird decision to have that guy like betray them. It's just like a weird decision, just because he's the only like disabled guy. So it's like, they display him in this sort of weird way, because Leonidas isn't shitty to him. He's like, hey man, like, I love that you want to be part of this. He tells him how great of a spear thrust he has and stuff. And like, you know, how you can really help us is like, I need people to bring water to the soldiers on the field. I need, you know, to help tend the wounded, this kind of thing, which nobody wants that shitty job, especially if you're from this society. Right. But, that is how you could help do your part for us. Right. And then, but then they're like, oh, let's just have him be the one that like stabs them in the back and goes and does this little slimy shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's very tropey. Right. But, I do.
It's like he's like the Gollum of this movie, right? Like, we've got to have a Gollum in here.
Yeah, but I do like that scene later when, you know, it's shown that he betrays them, and he says, like, listen, you just need to like lay down your weapons, and Jerry Butts says to him, I hope you live forever.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like the most devastating thing you could say to him. And so then it's like, in that moment, you can kind of see
he knows that he fucked up or whatever.
He fucked up royally, right?
Yeah, he's given all these temptations by Xerxes. Of all, we see all the women contorting their bodies and their chains and their stuff in front of him. I mean, some of that stuff is, you know, a little bit silly and feels Snydery to me, although not to the degree that some of his later shit would. But
honestly, I feel like everything in this movie, though, like, works in this world. Like,
yeah,
there's nothing that is like crazy. Like, even the parts that like you have the nudity parts, I'm like, it fits within the world. It's not just,
I mean,
like,
hey, we're looking at a bunch of dudes in their ginch, like their thongs through the whole movie, right? They're just, these Spartans just wear like a loincloth basically and a cape kind of thing, which seems crazy. Let's go into battle. Yeah, we got a shield, but then I'm just basically naked.
Yeah, and
I guess,
like,
you could move really fast and shit, unencumbered.
So all these guys are ripped. So I don't know if you remember at the time, there was like, when this movie came out, then there was like this whole big fucking thing. Get that Spartan body. It was like a whole fad that was going on. Anything I've ever heard of, like, people, like actors that work out and have to look that way for a movie role, they just say, it is the worst fucking thing I've ever done. And it's unsustainable.
Right.
You can't do that.
Mm. I mean, unless you're like, that's your job. In this case, you're an actor, or you're like somebody who's like a fucking fitness person, like for your job. I mean, other than that, you know, it's not very realistic. It was like Kumail Nanjiani when he got all ripped for that Marvel movie, Eternals or whatever. He was talking about, he's like, oh yeah, anyone can do this as long as they're like rich and they have a personal trainer.
Yeah, exactly. And
they go to the gym like 6 days a week. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they're fucking ripped.
They are fucking ripped. That's for
looking
sure.
Looking good.
So yeah, the biggest thing I, you know, remember from this movie, and you know, I'm sure if you asked anybody about this movie, they would tell you the line.
This is Sparta.
This is Sparta, right? Mm-hmm. Which I like, you know, this is blasphemy. This is madness. You know.
Yeah, the Persians send the guy out ahead, the messenger, to be like, hey, you gotta bend the knee and we'll let you be, you know, you can do what you want kind of thing. And you just have to acknowledge that Xerxes is your emperor.
I do kind of like, so this messenger comes, he's got that chain with like five kings' heads.
Yeah.
Like the skeleton heads. And it's kind of like, it's like, yeah. It's like you come here with kings' heads that you've conquered and you ask me that you mean no harm. And
yeah,
all I have to do is bend the knee. Like you're threatening me by doing all of this. It's kind of like, yeah, fuck you.
I mean, what the hell was that pit? Is that all that, like, does that pit just exist to throw prisoners down or something, or enemies?
Yeah.
So it looks like it's a fucking deep ass pit that they kick those guys down.
Yeah. I have no idea.
And of course, that's another thing. We, you know, the Snyder thing is the slow motion, right? This is right. Sparta, the slow motion kick.
Yeah.
And he uses that a lot in this movie. Not my favorite thing. I guess it does add some drama to certain moments for sure. Like, you know, we have a moment later where Michael Fassbender does like a running leap to stab his spear into a guy that's about to whip him from
right
from up on top of a,
or he cuts his arm off.
Yeah, that's right. He cuts his arm off. It's a huge leap though with his sword.
So what you're saying is the leap is unbelievable.
Well, it is, but I don't care about that. I it's just one of those Snyder style things. In this movie, I think there's some moments where it works pretty well. It's the kind of thing, like, he still is super into doing the slow motion shit, and I think he does it too much personally.
Well, so like I looked to see like what did he do before this movie, and mostly he just did like music videos.
Yeah, and he did the Dawn of the Dead, I think, before this. But yeah.
Yeah, but like this is like very early.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I guess we just saw like peak Schneider, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just like it's the same thing.
I can't remember if he did that movie Sucker Punch before or after this, but yeah, super heavily stylized stuff. And I think, like I said, I don't always love his style stuff. I usually don't, but it works in the context of this movie, I think, for this comic book adaptation of this story.
Right.
And what you're saying, like in the world, this stuff mostly works, I think. I was reading some stuff afterwards and I was like, oh, like people got upset because it wasn't historically accurate. I thought that was really funny.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they were like, this movie is not historically accurate. And it's like, oh, they were saying that it's Iranophobic or something like that because the Persian people, that's where Iran is now or whatever. And I was just like, well, guys, first of all, some of this is historical stuff that happened, you know, but also it's not, doesn't have to be accurate. It's based on a comic book that was like, it's historical fiction at best. Like we have supernatural shit in this movie and monster guys and ogre guys and shit. Like they're not trying to be like, yeah, this is some factual historical film. Like why would anyone care about that?
Right. Oh, that's just a weird thing to be upset about. But I mean, like, the Romans went on to basically do the exact same thing as the Persians.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
They go around conquering people, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's weird. Yeah. I'm confused by
that. I didn't remember that at the time, that was a thing that people were pissed off about. Like, you just watched the movie that had, like, these weird creature dudes and oracles and stuff, and you were like... Well, that's not how things really happened. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, there's lots of fun shit in this. Lots of the war stuff is fun. The fighting, this using the shield. I like when the arrow, like so many millions of arrows come, and like, oh yeah, they were like, we'll blot out the sun with the arrows. And is it Fassbender who's like, we'll fight in the shade then or something, and like laughs it off.
I mean, that's a great line.
Yeah. I totally forgot he was even in this as one of the soldiers. And then, what's his name? David Wenham. Is that the other guy? Sorry, let me have a look here. Yeah, David Wenham is Dilios. He's the one that ends up with the eye patch.
Oh, yeah.
Who Leonidas sends back to, like, tell the story of what happened with them.
Right.
Spread the word. Yeah, he was Faramir in the Lord of the Rings movies. Sean Bean's brother. He's also the one narrating, doing the voiceover, like, throughout the movie, telling the story of these guys and stuff.
Right, because you get that speech at the end.
Mm-hmm. Like, it leads back into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
First.
Did you realize there was a second one?
Oh, yeah. What is it, like, Rise of Empire or something?
Rise of the Empire?
I remember it existing. I don't think I ever watched it.
So, I didn't even know there was a second one until I was looking up this movie. I have no idea. I'm guessing it has to do with, like, okay, after the 300 die.
Right. We get to that moment, like we were just talking about, where Dilios is, like, giving the speech to all the Spartans that are now going to go to war full scale with all of Greece against the Persians.
Right. So it's like an epic battle.
I guess it's the continuation. I see that Lena Headey is still in it. And so is David Wenham as Dilios. So I guess those characters returned. Oh, and the guy that played Xerxes is in it as well. So, you know, I guess you see some of the same people return in that movie.
Hmm.
I wonder, it's got a 2.4 on Letterboxd.
Oh.
So that's not too great.
That's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not bad. It's in there. Yeah. I guess 300 didn't die. 299 died.
Right. Oh, shit. You just broke this movie. Just broke this wide open here. Fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a solid movie. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I fucking love this movie. But I had a really good time rewatching it. I was surprised how into it I got.
Yeah.
I was surprised how much I was like, yeah, when she stabs Dominic West's character because he's such a shit heel.
Yeah, such a piece of shit. I mean, I like watching it this time because, like, I didn't remember it from watching it the first time, you know, 18 years later. But also, yeah, I mean, it's a solid movie, like, really. And, yeah, I'm not like, fuck yeah, I'm going to put a poster on my wall. But
no. Not of Jerry Butts in his loincloth?
I mean, Jerry Butts, yes. It's going on the ceiling, Dustin.
Yeah, that's fair. What is it going to replace? I can't remember what your last ceiling poster was that we talked about.
I can't remember. But Jerry Butts is up there. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a solid movie. It's a solid action movie. I think once we get to our ratings, I think it's pretty fair where it ends up. It's you know, slightly above mid.
Just slightly above mid. It made fucking bank, this movie. I think they had a budget of like $45 million and it made like 450 something million, and that's just domestic, I think.
That's so crazy. A budget of $45 million. You'd think it would be more with all the
I mean, it's a ton CG of visual effects stuff. And stuff in it. Yeah. So, but I mean, some of it is just like the way he's filtered and shot it and stuff, but
oh, it says budget $65 million.
Okay, 65, but still, a shitload of money.
I mean, opening weekend in the US and Canada, $70 million.
Oh wow, yeah,
just on opening weekend.
Yeah, no, that's a big take. And for a time when this wasn't like a popular comic book, this isn't like fucking Batman or something, you know, like
I didn't even know it was a comic book.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a graphic novel thing. It was like, right. You know, unless you're a comic nerd person, you probably never heard of it. And Gerard Butler wasn't a thing really at the time. Like, no. He'd been in movies, but he wasn't like a star. This is the movie that broke him. Funny to think, you know, Fassbender would go on to be super successful after this. And, you know, the rest of the people are kind of like stage actors and like HBO actor kind of people, right? And it's a solid cast and like they all do a good job.
You know, I'd like to do a deep dive on Jerry Butts. Just like what is it about him that he just isn't able to break that? Like he's a lower tier.
Yeah, but I mean, he's most of his movies have been theatrical releases, so he's doing all right. Like
I know, but I feel
like you have modern action stars. He's got to be one of the more consistently used guys in movies.
Yes, I agree with you, and I really like him, but like Liam Neeson is higher up.
Yeah.
Right?
He'd done more like, quote unquote, like real movies before he moved into his action movie era kind of.
Okay, so I guess there it is. Yeah, so maybe. Action movies aren't real movies.
Well, I say quote unquote just because, you know, like films, they're not films, right?
They're art.
Yeah, I mean they are.
Yeah, well, fucking action movies
are.
Lady
Dragon is art.
It's somebody's art. You know what, that movie is somebody's favorite movie.
Oh my god,
it is
probably. So
somebody, that's their favorite movie.
I hope not.
Every movie you watch is somebody's favorite movie.
I think that's almost always true.
Is
it always true?
It's got to be.
Oof. Can you imagine having a conversation with somebody? I mean, I'm going to, you know, in a few weeks time, I'm going to end up posting about Lady Dragon when the episode's coming out.
Someone's going to say, I fucking love that movie.
Someone's going to be like, I fucking love it. And I'm going to have to be like, cool.
Yes.
Cool, man. Thumbs up. Oh, shit. Anyway. All right. Well, 300. Is there any other? I mean, I'm sure there's lots of cool shit we could talk about in the movie, but I think we've basically covered it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I really have much more. I like the different waves of people that they fight. You know, you get the immortals, you get the elephants, there's like the rhino.
Oh yeah, rhino. Yeah, it's another like kind of fantastical element, right? Yeah, like it's not magic, but it's like, yeah, they didn't actually use fucking rhinos like that, but it's cool. It gives it this
so you, like you get all these different things, and it's also like it's almost like believable that they could stand up to all these people in a way, until it's like they break away from their small group and it's like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. When they have them just kind of coming into that tunnel opening.
Yeah,
it
sure.
It makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ever would have gotten out of that formation.
It's because they
were coming on the goat trail, right?
Yeah.
Cause
the goat trail.
They were betrayed.
It's like, how many times is goat trail said in the movie?
I like when they make the wall of corpses too, all the dead guys.
Yeah,
there'd like be that. So many fucking there'd dead so many. People. I bet it smelled wonderful.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's much more to really say.
All right, well let's get to the ratings. I'm curious where this is gonna wind up.
All right, well I will go first. So plot 7, action kills 7. Pacing 5. Quotes and tropes 6. Personal reaction 6. What? 6? No. Personal reaction 7. Overall 6.4.
All right. And I also had a 7 for plot. I gave action a 6. That's probably a little stingy. I had pacing at a 7. I thought it was pretty well structured in the ebbs and flows kind of back and forth,
right.
How he did it. Quotes and tropes I had at a 6, and my reaction's also a 7, so mine's a 6.6 overall.
All right, so that's overall score a 6.5, which means...
Not too shabby.
Which means we got a tie at 100, So we'll see if it makes the top 100.
Will 300 be in the top 100? Stay tuned.
So at 100, we have Drive.
That's the
1997. Mark
Dacascus, yeah.
Bloodsport. Desperado. Enter the Dragon. And The Gray Man.
Oh, Gray Man is that high on this fucking list?
I wasn't on that episode.
Oh, yeah. Andy really loved The Gray Man.
So did John.
Did he really like it?
Yeah.
Man, I did not care for it.
I didn't care. I was with you on that, Gray Man, because I did watch it.
I since have read the book, and the book was pretty fun. But, yeah. Where would I put this? Well, I would definitely put it ahead of fucking Gray Man.
Okay. So is it better than Enter the Dragon?
Probably not. I mean, that's a pretty classic movie, one of the all-time best Bruce Lee movies.
Now, do you say probably not because collectively people say Enter the Dragon is a...
Well, I'm just feeling like, what would I watch again first? Probably I'd watch Enter the Dragon before I'd watch, even though I did have fun with this. And in fact, I had enough fun with this that I'm now kind of curious to watch the fucking sequel, which I can't imagine is good, but, and then we had, what was it before, ahead of
Desperado?
Desperado. I love that movie. I mean, it has, we discovered when we did it on the show that it has a lot of third act issues, but I think it's a pretty fun movie.
Bloodsport.
Can't put it ahead of fucking Bloodsport. That's the best children's movie ever made. best children's action film.
No. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, The Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the first one is a little more grittier.
The first one is better than the second one, surely.
It is better.
Except it doesn't have Vanilla Ice.
Comedy-wise, the second one is better.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Drive, 1997's Drive.
Drive is fun, man. That's a fun movie. Crazy, the hyper fast martial arts and stuff in that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree, kind of the placement around it's somewhere around Enter the Dragon. Not that like Enter the Dragon really should be higher, but
it should, yeah.
Which movie would I want to watch? Like, if I had to pick between, you know, I'm in the movie store, I'm like Enter the Dragon or 300.
In the fictional movie store.
And I've seen both of them already.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember Enter the Dragon being somewhat boring.
Well, I think there are some boring bits,
and
for sure.
There's a lot less martial arts than you think there would be.
Was there? Well, they have like the tournaments and stuff, and Bolo Jung is in there. And there's that, I mean, the ending is
the
crazy.
The mirror and the claw.
Yeah. And you got Jim Kelly kicking some ass and beating up cops and stuff. I don't know.
All right.
It's
all
got
right.
That 70s yeah. vibe, but hey, no, we could flip a coin.
No.
We're torn.
No. This list doesn't matter anyways.
That's it. Embrace the nihilism of the list.
So new number 104.
104.
In between Enter the Dragon and The Gray Man.
Didn't quite crack into that top 100, 300.
No, so it's two ahead of The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh man, I love that movie.
And three ahead of Ricochet.
Oh, ahead of Ricochet too. That's a fun fucking.
That's a
wild time.
Fun fucking movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks guys so much for sticking with us for 300 fucking episodes. Some of you probably been here since day one. Some of you have been here since day one.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Appreciate the Patreons. Except for Wes for choosing Lady Dragon. No, just kidding. But you know, thanks for tuning in. Check us out on Instagram, Action Action. Action Action. I always forget this. Is it Action Action or Action Action Podcast?
Action Action Podcast.
Action Action Podcast on Instagram. But Action Action on Letterboxd. That's where the list lives. Check us out on Patreon if you want to make us watch some movies. There's some other tiers on there. You want access to our first 200 episodes. They are now on Patreon. They were out there for a long ass time for anyone to listen to. Now they're on Patreon. It's only $2 or $3. You want to listen to them, so they're on there.
And go fuck your hat if you want to. If you want to write 1-star ratings, okay? Yeah, I'm talking
really
to
hurt.
You.
You were hurt by this, James. This 1-star rating.
I just find it so fucking stupid. Like that's what's you're getting all this shit for free out there.
It's free.
And
it was free. Now it's a couple bucks, and there's 200 episodes. So yeah, check out the other shows on the BFOP network, and we will talk to you later. Bye.
He's got sky.